The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And I'm joined by the Deputy Business Editor at the Sunday Times, John Isle. Good morning to you, John.
Hello, Claire.
You wrote a powerful piece published in the London Times about your experience of being Jewish in Ireland at the moment. And I wanted to talk to you about that. Do you feel, from your point of view, that things have changed in Ireland in recent times since the 2023 issues began October 7th in Israel, or has it always felt uncomfortable?
It's a good question. I think there is definitely, in my experience, and I should say I've lived in Ireland for most of the last 30 years, so basically my entire adult life. There was a big change I noticed when I moved here. I was born and raised in New York, obviously a city with a very large Jewish population where to be Jewish wasn't in any way remarkable. And I should say that I was raised as a secular Jew, meaning we didn't attend synagogue regularly. You know, we sort of half-heartedly celebrated the holidays. But in my own personal experience when I came over here, I recognized something in me that was a difference that wasn't fully explained by being an American. And I think that that difference that I began to notice was partly how I was regarded because I was Jewish. Now, I wouldn't say that was entirely a negative experience, although it sometimes was. And what I mean by that was I think I had a naive idea that Jews were sort of known and understood everywhere because that was the environment I grew up in. And when I moved over here, I realized people don't really know anything about the Jewish people or Jewish history and, you know, our place in the world. And that's completely fine. The Jewish population here is very, very small, although in Dublin, I think Jews have played a very significant role in the history of the city. So what I would say is what I first recognized, I had my first experience, let's say, of overt anti-Semitism in Ireland, right? And that was within a few months of arriving here. And then sort of since then, over the years, you know, what I have noticed is that there is a discourse specifically about Israel that I think bleeds over and affects people who are Jewish, Irish Jews or Jews who live in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to disentangle that connection, right? And understand what is specifically about the policies of the country of Israel and what is maybe more embedded in a much deeper and longstanding set of attitudes that Europeans, I would say, have about the Jewish people.
So tell me about life now as a Jewish person in Ireland. I mean, you say in the piece that you worry every time you attend a Jewish community event. Why?
Well, that is something that has been a feature of Jewish life as long as I've been here, although it has intensified in the last 2.5 years since the war in Gaza, since the attacks of October 7th and all of the subsequent violence. The reason is that in a very real sense, and we've seen examples of this all over the world, in Golders Green most recently, but also Bondi Beach or the Manchester Synagogue shooting at Yom Kippur last year, is that Jewish people are in actual danger of being victims of violence, of anti-Semitic violence. And that's something that the community and the Gardaí here recognize, and they take serious steps to protect against. So in my household, the conversations we have before we attend a Jewish event or where we're going to be in an area where lots of Jews are gathered together always involves some consideration of what the security is going to be like at that event, right? Mm-hmm. Is it easy to escape from, for instance? Is this something that's appropriate to bring our 6-year-old son to? If it's an event for adults, is one of us going to stay home in case something happens so that at least there's one of us who survives? Like, that sounds melodramatic, but in the context of a sort of regular drumbeat of violence against Jewish communities around the world, I don't think it's completely crazy, although it has been normalized.
Yeah, it's astonishing that that's how you're having to live your life in the Ireland of today, because there aren't many people who go through that in our democracy.
No, and I think, and I'm not sure how well known it is, but I think if it were happening to another community, right? If there were another community that felt that sense of siege and that they had to take steps to protect themselves in moments where they're visible, I think there would be a sense of moral outrage about it. Mm-hmm. However, because the Jewish people are connected to Israel or it is somehow accepted as, well, this is just the price you pay because that country over there is behaving in a way that we find objectionable. And that's the part that's very difficult to deal with, right? Because on the one hand, it's legitimate to criticize Israel as a state acting in the world. On the other hand, it's not really fair that Jews in Ireland should have to pay a price for the behavior of a country that they have no control over.
So, and you write that the attackers in those incidents that you've outlined there, that they feel or seem to believe that they're hurting, that hurting Jews in Sydney or London or Manchester is striking a blow against Israel. And you've just told me now that people who do this believe that you, as an individual, have some connection to Israeli policy. Do you feel a connection to Israeli policy?
Well, like, okay, in a very basic sense, it's almost impossible for Jews not to be connected to Israel. And I mean that in a sense of having either a personal connection in that they have family or friends there, right? Half the world's Jews live in Israel, right? That's important to point out. Or they have a religious connection. Obviously, it's the origin of the Jewish religion. It's where the Holy Temple was built and destroyed. And, you know, it's the center of Jewish life in the world, right? So in that sense, it's like saying, well, how could a Muslim disconnect from Saudi Arabia? It's where Mecca is, mm-hmm. right? Like, you can't possibly disconnect. So there are all kinds of ties and so forth. But I'm not an Israeli. I don't vote in Israel. I don't live in Israel. So the idea that I should somehow, I should accept that my personal security is affected by the choices that a government is making in Jerusalem is insane to me. And it's also insane that the part that's the most insane is that everybody sort of accepts that that's a normal burden I should take on. And I really refuse to accept mm-hmm. that.
And do you feel it fair for me to ask you to give a view on what's happening in Gaza?
Well, here's what I'll say to that. I think the piece, and for anybody who's read it, they'll notice that I don't mention much about the actual conflict. What I was trying to do in the piece...
I did notice that. And tell me why.
Well, what I wanted to do in the piece is focus on something that was happening in the place where I actually live and where I have, let's say, a perspective that is maybe less well ventilated, you know, and maybe a side of the story that people haven't heard yet. I think there are people who are far better placed than I am to talk about what's going on in Gaza and what's going on in Israel. I haven't been over there in 15 years, right? So I'm definitely not somebody you should come to for an expert opinion on the rights and wrongs of that. I do have my own opinions, but they don't really have a bearing on whether I deserve to feel like I'm under threat in the country where I live. But I accept that there is a shadow hanging over what I am saying, which is that the Palestinian people are not living in any sort of security right now. That's something I fully acknowledge. And I also think that the Irish instinct to side with the underdog is a good moral instinct. I don't mean to criticize that at all. What I would invite people to do, though, is to try to disentangle that instinct, the belief that the underdog deserves support, from a sort of, let's say, unhealthy focus on who they think the perpetrators are and how wide that locus of blame should be. Mm-hmm. And because I don't think it helps Palestinians, I don't think it helps Irish people, it certainly doesn't help Irish Jews, to conflate lots of different kinds of people and sort of put them all into this one bucket where it's like, well, you know, you have a connection to that country, therefore, you know, you should suffer too.
So stop blaming me as an individual, as a human being of the world, as a person who lives in Ireland, who happens to be Jewish, stop blaming me for what you see happening in Gaza.
Yes, there's that, but also take cognizance of how, let's say, your activism against Israel is resonating in the country where you live in, and how it affects other Irish people too, right? So that's important to point out. Like, I'm Jewish, but I'm also Irish, right? So I'm part of this community. And how people choose to protest against Israel and the choices they make around that do have an effect on Jewish people here, right? And I think it's important for us to speak up and say how we're being affected, especially when it's negative. And I should say also, I'm not a spokesperson for the Jewish community. Like, there's a wide variety of opinions within the Jewish community, both pro and against what has happened in Gaza. And I don't propose to represent all of them. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just speaking about my own personal experience, you know, which I think has some overlap with a lot of other Jewish people, but I'm sure there's disagreement there too.
I suppose you had a choice, and the choice was not to say anything about this, you know,
yes.
to keep
well,
quiet.
It's hard. When you're a journalist, you sometimes get asked to do things. And this was my opportunity to say something maybe that I'd been thinking about or feeling for quite a long time. I mean, I used to, as part of my professional work, I used to write for a Jewish news agency from Ireland. And, you know, I remember when I first pitched myself to the editor, you know, who was based in Philadelphia, and she said to me, well, but like, what are you going to be writing about from Ireland? And I said, well, don't worry. They talk about Jews a lot here, you know, and like the fact that 2,000 Jews live in this country, but Jews are a frequent topic of conversation, whether Israeli Jews or otherwise, I think is noteworthy, right? And, you know, one of the things I mentioned in the piece was the fight over the naming of Herzog Park, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is maybe symbolic of the kind of thing I'm talking about, right? So it's one thing to say, look, the Netanyahu government, disgraceful, they should be stopped. I don't like what they're doing. That's fine. I think that's within the sort of realm of legitimate discourse around interstate actions and so forth. But to say, to come in, you know, to say that we should rename this park, which is named in honor of a Dublin Jew, by the way, Chaim Herzog, the son of Isaac Herzog, who was the first chief rabbi of independent Ireland, who later went on to be president of Israel. This is somebody who came from this country, who was born in this country, was raised here, emigrated somewhere else, and started a political dynasty, right? And I compare them to the Kennedys in the U.S., who Irish people are rightly proud of for their contributions to American political culture. Now, the idea that we'd rename this without ever consulting the Jewish community and find out, well, why are we honoring this person in the first place? What does he mean to you? And then to consider replacing that person's name. I mean, it really felt like such an attack. It felt like an act of erasure that we want to cram down a history that Irish Jews are proud of because we're angry about how this other country behaves. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a march in O'Connell Street that says stop the killing. Like, fine, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But this, to me, was much more personalized, the Herzog Park thing. And I think that's an example of where it has bled over, that the blast radius of anger about Israel has become so wide that Jewish people who have nothing to do with the decisions being made in Jerusalem are becoming collateral damage.
John, thank you very much for speaking to us. John Isle there from the Sunday Times Ireland. And if you have a view on what John has had to tell us there, do get in touch this morning. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number that you need.
The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.